X-Talks connects professionals in the life science, medical device, and food industries with useful content like webinars, job openings, articles, and virtual meetings to help you succeed in your career. This Food Industry Focus podcast brings together some of our editorial staff to share insights into the latest B2B industry news to help keep you up to date.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the X-Talks Food Podcast. I'm Sydney Perlmutter, Senior Food Industry Journalist and Webinar Moderator at xtalks.com, and this week I'm joined by Eyal Rosenthal. Eyal is the CEO of Ever After Foods, an Israeli cultivated meat innovator focused on making the industry overcome its scalability issues. So Eyal, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you, Sydney. Thank you very much for having me.
So to start off, can you give us a brief overview of Ever After Foods, its mission and vision, and what sets it apart from other lab-grown meat companies?
Sure. Thank you. Ever After Food was co-founded back in early 2022 between Pluri, which is a pioneer of a cell expansion company, specializing in the large-scale production of stem cells, and Tnuva, Israeli largest food manufacturer and the leader in the local alternative protein market. I would say what sets us apart is that we have developed a proprietary technology platform to produce cultivated meat in a very efficient and scalable way. Our current pilot system is highly productive, yielding seven times more cultivated meat per run than those of the other players. In addition, our cultivated meat products are made of macro tissues, which is basically all the essential components of animal meat. Such as the fat and the ECM, which is the extracellular matrix and the muscle cells. So that allows us really to deliver uncompromised the meat taste, feel and texture, and therefore we get to a very high meat parity.
So as the CEO of Ever After Foods, what's been your biggest challenge so far and how have you been able to address it?
Thanks. This is a tough one. So I would say that the key challenge we face is that our industry requires a variety of unique and very diverse disciplines, spanning from food technology, chemistry, biology, tissue engineering, bioreactor expertise, and so forth. So as a result, building the team is an ongoing challenge. Additionally, of course, the key challenge today is the scale and the cost, meaning that what you can achieve in a small scale is very different than when you move to a larger scale, and you know the physics are just different. So this is really all about our unique technology method for growing cultivated meat. We do it in a different way than all the other players, and enabling the scalability is our key strength.
So many people still don't fully understand the concept of cultivated meat. Could you break it down for our listeners and highlight how it differs from traditional meat, especially in terms of production?
Sure. So the process comprises, I would say, of four key stages. First, we go and identify the highest and best quality animals, and we take cells from them that are going to continue to grow and to grow, just like they are in the animal, because they are programmed to build muscle, to build tissue, etc. So we take cells, it can be either from a biopsy or an egg or a cell bank. The second stage is that after the cells grow, we provide the cells with the nutrition that the cells need to grow. And this is very familiar to the animal by eating mix of sugars, protein, vitamins, and mineral. So the feed that we develop for these cells include those things and the very familiar amino acids, the fats, the sugars, and we call this feed as the media. It's the feeding that the cells are eating. Thirdly, this is the stage where meat is growing. We grow the cells in the bioreactor, which is kind of a vessel that actually mimics the animal body, where you have the cells and the feed basically in a clean environment, and the cells are doubling and doubling. And the last stage is the ultimately after 2 to 4 weeks, we have enough meat that is being formed, and we harvest it and shape it to the product that the consumer is used to seeing.
So one of the main selling points that I know of cultivated meat is its environmental sustainability. So could you speak to the impact that your company is having in terms of reducing greenhouse gas emissions and land use?
Yeah, thanks for bringing this question, as this is really highlighting why we are putting all these efforts in doing this. So we all agree that the product, i.e. the meat that we, that the meat is as a product is great. What we don't like is the way that it's being produced. Our love for meat comes at a huge cost. And we already know that the answer is not really to tell people to give up on eating meat or to become vegan. But it is to actually improve the process of making meat. And that brings us to the situation of our current food system, which is really at a critical crossroads. As you know, right now for producing the meat that the world is demanding, we have to raise over 70 billions of animals every year. And we all know that that demand is expected to double by 2050, in which case we will have to think about finding space for I would say 140 billion animals. So imagine all the feed to feed them, the greenhouse gas emissions to be able to accommodate all of that, and the water pollution and all these environmental impacts from having so many lives. And if you add to that the fact that on the other end, meanwhile, consumers are demanding something which is much more transparent in the food production, in humanity in food production, and sustainability in food production. So I would say this is really where Ever After is standing. We have developed a proprietary technology for cultivated meat from real animal cells. Our process reduces over 80% the environmental impact of raising animals, whether it is land, greenhouse gas emissions, and water. We're building a category that will actually preserve our planet.
So there is also a lot of concern about the taste and texture of cultivated meat. So how would you describe the flavor and texture of Ever After Foods products compared to traditional meat?
Yeah, the industry must learn that even if products aren't identical to their animal-based counterparts, they must first and foremost, you know, target taste. And we see it from other products. Taste is the king. So in the food industry, there's no way of getting around it. The main issues related to taste and textures are actually associated with more of the plant-based alternatives, as you're really taking, you know, peas or mushrooms and try to make them to become meat. At Ever After Foods, we use all natural cells from the actual animals. So our nutritional components and are identical along with the taste. I will add, as with all the cultivated meat products, our first products are going to be hybrid. So we add the additional plant matter to support the texture. All in all, we do organoleptic tests with leading chefs, and we get a very positive responses that they are ready to serve it in their own restaurants. So I hope that by year end, we will announce our product.
Very exciting. And another piece of exciting news is that the USDA, of course, recently approved the sale of cultivated meat to American consumers, but the industry is still fairly new and faces some regulatory hurdles. So how is Ever After Foods navigating these challenges, particularly in terms of global market penetration?
Yeah, I would say the approval of cultivated meat for sale in the United States is really the single most significant milestone in the history of the alternative protein industry. I mean, it's that a new area for the food industry, paving the way for other companies and other countries to follow. And you know, with the US to become US is becoming the second country after Singapore to allow the sale of cultivated meat. And I expect other countries to follow, although it's indeed very challenging. At Ever After, we are in dialogue with the different regulators also in Israel. And as you know, Israel is very much committed to this space. Both government funding has been committed via the Israel Innovation Authority. And we know that our prime minister recently had some tastings event. So all in all, I think the regulation will follow the U.S. Regulatory bodies as well.
Now, how do you see the role of cultivated meat evolving in the global food industry over the next decade? And you can also compare it to the history of plant-based meat and how that evolved and how cultivated meat will be potentially different than plant-based meat.
Yeah, I think As we mentioned, with the recent regulatory approval, there is no doubt that there is an inflection point for the industry. We are starting a new chapter where a new technology for creating animal so-called products is coming online. The alternative protein market has tremendous potential to address some of the major challenges facing our food systems, you know, from food insecurity. As you know, many countries are still importing their meat. And the environmental impact that we mentioned and public health concerns. So driven by a combination of consumer demand for more sustainable food system, the market is poised for significant growth as more opportunities emerge to meet those changing needs of consumers and the planet. EverAfter Food is well positioned to serve as a tech enabler for the industry by providing a unique system for efficiently growing cultivated meat at scale. And our goal is to make cultivated meat become more viable, available, and affordable and food for everyone. In terms of the speculation of how, what do they be, will be the percentages, I think it's always hard to say. We see different analysts that are claiming there will be between, I don't know, 30 to 40%. Market share from the whole conventional meat, and also the plant will take some chunk. So these are the current forecasts. I believe it will take about, I would say, 10 to 15 years to get there.
So in terms of EverAfter Foods, can you tell me about some of the key technological advancements that it's currently working on? I know you touched on, you know, the bioreactor process and how your tech will improve your product offerings in the future. And you also mentioned that, you know, at the moment, it's sort of a hybrid product. Are you planning to transition to a fully cultivated meat product?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we have developed a proprietary production system. Our production system is very different from all the other companies in the space who are growing in a steer tank suspension systems, which is a very limited technology when it comes to scale. With our current 35-liter system, we proved that we can produce over 10 kilo of cultivated mass. And our next scale is that we're already advanced working on is a 1,400-liter bioreactor, in which we will produce over 400 kilo of cultivated meat. And just to give the frame, to produce the same amount, other players will need to scale the processes to enormous bioreactors of over 10,000 liters. And that type of bioreactor and infrastructure is simply not feasible for use when you're speaking about animal cells and thus cannot achieve cost parity. In terms of the hybrid, so as you know, cost is a major issue for the industry. And again, similar to how I would say the electric vehicle started, you know, so we all know that it was started all hybrid and then moved to become completely electrified. So I think the case is in a way similar to the cultivated meat space. And definitely in the future, once prices are coming down, we can increase the cultivated meat portion, cultivated mass portion.
Now, there's a significant portion of consumers who are concerned about the quote-unquote unnaturalness of cultivated meat. So how does your company address these concerns?
Yeah, it's a very good point. I think it's an issue. We need to figure it out how to communicate this category of cultivated meat. At the end of the day, it's all about the consumer acceptance. We all know in every business. I believe that we first of all, we have to be very, very transparent about how we are growing our meat and educate the consumer about the health and the environmental benefits. But in my opinion, as everything related in food, it will come to the taste. So once the consumer approval will come only when being satisfied with the taste. So we simply have to meet the consumer having to taste our product, and then I think it will be much easier to decide.
Now, I know that, of course, cultivated meat, especially, you know, from EverAfter Foods, is meant to be for everyone. Mm-hmm. And I was speaking to two friends of mine who are vegetarian, one of whom was very excited, you know, for the future of cultivated meat, and he was very excited to try it in the future. And then the other said that she was not interested just simply because she has lost sort of her affinity for meat. So in terms of, you know, who your target market is, would you sort of say that it's for everyone? And how would you maybe try to convince those vegetarians who've lost their taste for meat that this is sort of a different product and maybe to get over that sort of psychological hurdle?
Yeah, I would say in general, first of all, we are not aiming for the vegetarians. So we are aiming for the general market, for the meat lovers. And this is kind of, you know, our key market. As you know, the vegetarian market also is a very small market. Market share. So we are, our key focus is obviously going on for the actual meat consumers. For the vegetarian, you know, some people, we also have some people in our team, it varies. So some people don't eat it because of animal welfare issues, and some are simply lost their interest in the product because of this is how they've been brought up or they made some decision back in the past. So it's really dependent on the individual. But again, the focus will be on the general market.
So you were talking about how Israel is a very big hub for cultivated meat. And many people wonder, is cultivated meat considered kosher and or halal?
Yeah, so we already seen some progress on that with some rabbi in Israel. They're very much supportive of our industry. As the Jewish law designates some kosher meat as having to come from a cow slaughtered in accordance with very strict ritual, and it's very complicated process. And secondly, of course, the animal welfare issues. And the so-called, what has been published today and working with some of our other companies, cultured meat from embryos, you know, solves a number of problems. And in the Jewish, they call it that they will allow it to become a parve, which is kind of, you know, vegan between it's a vegan category. So embryos are not considered to be are considered to be like a separate entity. So they are meaning that using them does not run an issue for the public health prohibition against eating, you know, flesh taken from a living animal. So it is going to be kosher or halal, but there's still work to be done on that, of course.
It would be very interesting. I mean, especially for the pork products, would those be considered kosher still?
Yeah, it's, again, I don't know. There is something, how do I say that? There's something in Israel, in Hebrew, we call it marit ayin. It's like something that you, if you cannot really, it's also the question of eating, you know, a cheese with meat. So there will be an issue about you know, having that in a public manner and how to label it. So because the Jewish will not kind of, you know, want to be in a situation that you are kind of, you know, allowing to do meat and dairy together. So there's still issues around it. And I think that we are it's still early in the stages.
So as the leader of Ever After Foods, what is your vision for the future of the company and the cultivated meat industry as a whole? And what will it take ultimately to achieve this vision?
Well, so, you know, meat isn't the traditional industry that we would associate it with transformational change, but it is a multi-trillion dollar industry. And Ever After Food have a chance to totally transforming it. And through doing that, I think that we have the opportunity to change how you and I, how everyone potentially is to improve from meat that involves the slaughter of animals to meat that involves no animals being harmed, and to have the environmental benefits with lower emissions, potentially lower usage of water, and a whole range of different health benefits as well. To achieve this vision, at some stage, government, of course, will have to step in and support the industry with subsidies and other benefits. It will definitely take time, as with many other disruptive technology. And we can see the example of electric cars, as we discussed before, and the times it took them to get the market share. But we all know that they will dominate the market in the long run. So it's really a question about some additional time, but I believe that in the long run, this technology will prevail.
Right. And of course, some regions or countries may take longer than others. Like a couple of months ago, I had written about Italy wanting to ban cultivated meat even before it had been approved there. So obviously, some places will take longer to come around.
Yeah, it's a good point. We follow also this announcement, and it is kind of, you know, going against the trend, because, you know, everyone speaks about climate and all the impact that this kind of technology can have. And I think that we discussed it before, the demand for meat is only increasing, and population is increasing, and we will need more. Again, it's all about, you know, disruptive technologies takes time to implement. And there are these different groups that are trying, you know, to protect the conventional and resisting to change. And we see it in different technologies. Everything at the beginning looks very bizarre. And we have different cases of examples, you know, from other applications, such as, I would say, Uber. Always seems to me very, very bizarre when you try to go with a stranger on a ride, and many others, you know, from going from the streaming music. You know, back then there was lots of people, you know, had to, you know, voting, and they said that they will never, you know, try to use streamlined music or something like that. And you know that the industry changed completely. So I think we definitely have to take it cautious, you know, and on the other hand, you know, respect, but still remember that once the technology will be proven, I think that everything will change.
Yes, we're always resistant to change at first, but eventually we do all come around. So as an added last bonus question, what's your favorite Ever After Foods product and why?
Look, our current products that we focus are both poultry and beef and bovine. And this is exactly, it's exactly as you can imagine it in terms of the taste. And my personal preferences is the duck product that we're working on. But as I mentioned, we are tasting it with leading chefs, and they loved it. And alongside our product development, we're scaling our system to reach the price parity. And I think that will be the real game changer, which is needed for the industry.
Well, I'm very excited to hopefully try it sometime in the future. And thank you again for joining us today, Eyal. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, Sydney. Thank you for having me. It was a real pleasure speaking with you. Thank you.
Of course. So that's the end of this episode of the X Talks Food Podcast. If you like today's show, don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. Thanks, everyone, and see you next week. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the X Talks Food Industry Podcast. If you enjoyed our discussions today, please share the episode with your friends and colleagues, and be sure to subscribe in order to be notified when a new episode is released. To join in on the discussion, you can find X-Talks on social media, email podcast@xtalks.com, or comment on the articles directly. Links are in the show description. Take a moment to join our community at xtalks.com to get access to everything we have to offer, including webinars, job listings, virtual meetings, articles, and more. The views and opinions expressed in the podcast are those of the speakers sharing them. They should not be taken as professional advice and do not necessarily reflect the policy or position Honeycomb Worldwide. For further information, email us at podcast@xtalks.com. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next week.